The Weekly Connect on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott, and this is the Weekly Connect here on RNIB Connect Radio. Lovely to have your company as always. It's a special episode this week as we say thank you to our wonderful volunteers at RNIB. We'll be hearing from people who take their time to record talking books, speak up for the charity around the country, raise money through organising events, and offer professional knowledge for free to help counsel blind and partially sighted people who need emotional support. All of this is part of National Volunteering Week, which gives us the chance to say thank you.
The Weekly Connect on RNIB Connect Radio.
But we start off with a look at the value of volunteering itself and the range of options there are here at RNIB. Community facilitators Danielle Colcombe and Natasha Marcy join me now. Hi, girls.
Hi, Stephen.
So, yeah, it's National Volunteer Week, and, you know, it's such an important week to recognise the millions of people around the country who volunteer in some capacity. And here at RNIB, we're celebrating, of course, because we've got something like over 5,000 volunteers doing a whole range of different roles. But interestingly for you guys, as community facilitators within RNIB, and we'll explain a bit more about what that means later. But Danielle, for you, first of all, how important is our volunteers?
Oh, words can't describe. I mean, volunteers are imperative to the success of RNIB. We just absolutely couldn't do our work without the commitment and dedication that we see from volunteers on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I run quite a lot of different groups, and the volunteers just make such a massive difference, and the amount of man hours that they put in is just incredible.
So let's talk a bit about that, the different kinds of roles that go on here at RNIB, and, you know, as we've moved now towards this new brave world called RNIB Connect, where, you know, volunteering is at the heart of everything we're doing, and, you know, it's about bringing everyone together. Danielle, maybe if you can outline for us the kind of roles that people are getting involved in now and the kind of roles, you know, across RNIB that people can do.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, because of Connect, we are kind of seeing a bit of a shift in the type of volunteering opportunities that we can provide. I mean, more traditionally, we've got things like administration, event organisation, fundraising is a key part of a volunteer role within RNIB, and we've got technology assistance as well. But like you said, that shift towards more empowering blind and partially sighted people to actually lead on projects, that is more what we're trying to achieve with Connect. We want people with lived experience to be the forefront of the organisation and to lead on projects themselves.
You can get involved on the website. There's loads of different opportunities that you can look at and browse through in your area as well. So there's loads of different opportunities that are quite specific to where you live, but the sort of opportunities that we've got, you know, they can help you in your future as well. So if you're wanting to do maybe an administrative job, you could come in and do some administrative sort of volunteer roles. Or if you were wanting to get out in your community, you can do a role, a sort of an ad hoc event volunteer and come and help out at some events that we run. You know, the volunteering doesn't just have to be to help us, it can also be a really beneficial sort of thing for you as well.
And it is about connecting communities. That's what RNIB is all about. It's about connecting blind and partially sighted people to, you know, information, to services and all of those things. And volunteering helps that because it gets the word out there. Interestingly as well, we're not just suggesting, because it's RNIB, that all the volunteers have to be completely blind or partially sighted. Everyone's welcome.
Definitely. We welcome anyone who's keen and interested in supporting people with sight loss. And like you said, you don't have to have any lived experience of sight loss. You just have to have a keen interest in the work that we do and wanting to support people who have experience of sight loss.
And the people who are volunteering who are fully sighted, they are vital volunteers as well. It's really important to get them people on board to help out with things like guiding and making cups of tea and things at events, or, you know, being able to read things and help with administration. And there's lots of different tasks which are really vital that people can help with.
Now, I mentioned earlier your roles, you in particular, both of you, are community facilitators. Can one of you explain what that actually means?
Oh, that's a difficult question.
It has lots of different facets, I guess. The way I tend to describe a community facilitator is someone who's out there helping to connect up peer support groups, helping to join the dots in the community. So making sure that people have them links with the people who are so important to them, to helping sure, making sure that they can access not only the blind and visually impaired community, but their own community and where they live. So if people want to go out running and they want to just join a running group, we can help train up a guide runner and make sure, you know, that they can go running in their own community with their own peers or who are around them at all times.
Yeah, well, you know, you're absolutely right. I think what facilitation means for me is about being sort of like the catalyst in the machine sort of thing. So we're out there supporting people and enabling people, but we're not doing the doing. So the community are doing the doing. They're the ones who have the ideas. They're the ones who have the initiatives and the foresight for new projects locally. And as facilitators, we kind of just empower people to lead on those projects.
And it's also about joining up their ideas. You know, if a few people yeah. come to us yeah. separately and say, oh, actually, I'd quite like to do this. And then we're the people who are best placed to start noticing trends and noticing themes coming out. And it's like, oh, this is what's needed. Let's help someone to sort this out in their community.
I mentioned earlier yeah. that the 5,000 or so people who are involved in RNIB alone who volunteer for us. And I guess this week it's all about just saying thank you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We wouldn't be where we are now and looking into the future without volunteers. They're so vital to the work that we do. And, you know, to this week, given the time for people to actually say thank you and to explain to the volunteers how much help and how much importance they've had from blind and visually impaired people, from the actual users, from the people who've benefited from these volunteers, actually being able to see that is lovely.
Yeah, it's absolutely crucial that we say thank you as well, because often we can take the work of volunteers for granted, you know, especially the good ones. You know, when you get a good volunteer, it's quite easy to be able to kind of fill their time and max them out at capacity. Mm. But, you know, let's be truthful here, they are giving up their time for free. And that is something that is very special that we need to acknowledge. And without people giving their time to us for free, we would not be able to provide the services that we do and the support for the community that we do now.
Natasha and Danielle, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, getting into volunteering can be a fun experience and can lead you to try new things that you might never have considered before. Nadia Bashu is one such person who last year decided to join RNIB Connect as a volunteer and take up a range of different roles. She spoke to community facilitator Ashley Venables about her experiences thus far.
I'm hoping to start doing public speaking events to help raise money for the Talking Books service and the RNIB in general.
Okay. Have you had much interaction with RNIB in the past?
I've been blind since birth, so I've dealt with the RNIB on and off all my life.
Okay. And what services have you interacted with RNIB?
Well, Talking Books.
Yep.
And I have quite a few of the specialist products to help around the home. And they've also given me sort of general advice in the past as well with regard to benefits and employment and that kind of thing.
You're here for the volunteer thank you today and the public speaking. Have you had much involvement so far, or is this the first steps to your volunteering journey with RNIB?
I've never volunteered with the RNIB before, but I have had public speaking experience as well as experience raising visual impairment awareness. So.
And you said a little bit about what inspires you as to the role with the volunteering. Was there anything that you want to do with volunteering that maybe isn't offered at the moment, or any aspirations for your role?
I hope that there's nothing I think that I would want to do that isn't done now, but I hope that I would really like to try and improve sighted people's perception of visually impaired people, maybe get them to realise that we are actually human beings, not aliens from another planet, and just improve the way we are treated generally by the public.
And do you think that's one of the most important things to you with your volunteering role, sort of taking
yes.
that forward?
Yes. If people can see firsthand how the RNIB can help someone with a visual impairment, I think they'll be much more likely to help than they will just from a sighted person saying this is what we do, but we haven't actually got anyone to show you the benefits of what we do. So I think
that's good. And what would you say to others that are looking for volunteering roles, or what was the best sort of easiest steps for you to get into doing it? Did you link in with RNIB through the website, or was it through sort of word of mouth?
It was Action for Blind People before they amalgamated with the RNIB who told me about the voluntary work that the RNIB did, and I thought it would be a good step, kind of a compromise between maybe to lead on to paid work, possibly.
Okay.
I thought voluntary work might be... I have other health problems, so I thought voluntary work might be a good way to test the waters to see what I was physically actually capable of doing before considering taking it further to do paid work.
Okay, that's fantastic. On a side note, have you heard of RNIB Connect?
Yes, I'm a member.
Are you a member of it? How do you engage with us at the moment with Connect? Is it just via the magazine, or do you listen to the radio?
I listen to the radio constantly.
Okay, fantastic.
So that's on pretty much all the time.
What are your favourite shows on there?
Oh, Tech Talk is fantastic. Okay. The Weekly Connect is great. I've been on the discussion boards a couple of times, but generally I like the radio station and the magazine.
Well, thanks for the mention, Nadia. Our lovely volunteers who help out and make the Tech Talk show happen with me every week will be so pleased to hear this. In fact, let's tell them right now. Sean Preece and Tim Schwartz are with me now. Hi, guys.
Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. Thanks so much for having us on.
Hey, listen, great for you to be here, at least I hope it is, on the other side, which is the Weekly Connect, of course. I thought I'd bring you over here for a change.
I know, it's a bit scary. It's different. I don't like change.
It is different.
I wanted to talk to you guys about how you got involved with Tech Talk, and indeed RNIB more generally, I guess, is part of National Volunteers Week, where we are saying thank you to all of our wonderful volunteers, and you two give a lot of time to RNIB and the Tech Talk program. So we just wanted to sort of find out a bit about why. Why do you do it, Sean Preece?
Why? Now, that's a question I ask myself every week. Why? No. You know, how I got into it is actually, I'm not entirely sure now. It's almost by accident. I started getting into podcasting when a friend of mine, Garth, started a website. And he started podcasting, and he asked me to come on one of the recordings with him. So I did that, and I just really enjoyed it. And I started getting into the recording side and the editing the audio side of things, and it just turned into a hobby. And from that, I think after I can't remember what it was now, a segment on, you know, a guide to doing something on tech, I think you contacted me, Stephen, to come on the Tech Talk show. Am I remembering this right?
Yeah, well, you are remembering it right, because we kind of met. I heard about you doing a podcast. I heard you and I thought, you've got to do this. And I approached you and told you all about it. You said, no way, I want more money. And it didn't work out that way. In fact, no, you thought, actually, do you know, this is a great opportunity to be part of this. And the show has gone from strength to strength as a result, quite frankly. Tim, a lot of our listeners might not realise this because of the way we beautifully present our programme. But, you know, while some may think that we all sit in the same room together, that would be a bit difficult because you are indeed in Cincinnati in America. How did you get involved in all of this crazy stuff?
Yeah, that would be a bit difficult, although be a lot of fun and yet chaotic, I think, at the same time. I'm not sure about getting us in the same room at the same time. That would be interesting, but fun, I'm sure. Yeah, you know, how I got into it is almost an accident and pure luck as well. Several years ago, I had briefly started my own podcast and website. After about 5 episodes, I realized, with my wife being pregnant at the time, it was just not going to happen. And of course, when we had our child, time was consumed with the baby. And so I had hung it up for several years. I maintained the website and social media presence. And then last year or so, about a year and a half ago, I relaunched my podcast with the help of Mr. Sean Preece. I had been online on social media looking for some help in getting some mixers, and I knew what microphone I wanted, but I wanted to make sure I had the right mixer that was accessible and using the right software. And Sean was about the only one, if not the only one, to respond to me and said, hey, let me help you out here. This is what you should do, or what you should use, or here's what I use. And we became, I don't want to say fast friends, but pretty quickly we became friends and seemed like we had a lot in common and talked about a lot of tech things. And I had him on my show several times. He was very gracious to help me out several different times on episodes of my show. And over time, he had said, you know what, I'd like to maybe have you come on the show with Garth and I. which ironically didn't happen until well after I had been on Tech Talk. I had actually done a Amazon audio description review on my show, and I promoted it online. And I think, Stephen, what had happened, if I remember correctly, you heard it or saw it or something like that, and you knew that Sean and I knew each other. And I think you came to Sean and said, hey, you know this guy. Do you think he'd want to come on the show and just do a quick discussion about Amazon and its audio description that it's been implementing, and, you know, have him on the show to discuss this? And I came on. We had a great time. And I think the rest has been kind of history from there. You said, you know what, we may want to have you on more often and talk with us more. And that's kind of how it's happened. So it's just been one lucky thing after another.
And I think to explain to the listener for the perspective of how this happens, you know, I don't just go around listening to podcasts and saying that guy's good, we're having him or her. Maybe there's a bit of that, but it is actually partly my job to do this at RNIB. My job is about developing new talent and, you know, developing people's skills. And I have to say what is wonderful is, although my job is about developing people's skills, at RNIB, the day job when I'm not behind the microphone, I often find it's quite the opposite. I often find I'm developing my own skills based on all the experience of people like you guys. You know, this is what I love about this job, because I get the opportunity to spend time with people who know things, and I don't know a lot of things. So I, you know, like to learn from other people because they do. And, you know, it is great to have the opportunity to do it. And I can't imagine a scenario or a situation where, you know, this kind of ability where we could just get together in a room virtually as we do every week, because Sean's in Manchester, I'm in Glasgow, Tim's in Cincinnati. It would be physically impossible for us to do this and get, I guess, even probably meet from time to time. I mean, Sean and I have met. Tim, we're waiting for the invite, quite frankly.
We're waiting for the tickets.
It'll happen, but, one day. We are trying to get over there as soon as we can. So one day it'll happen.
But that's it, isn't it? And, you know, being part of this, the RNIB, which, you know, when you work for RNIB, you tend to work in your bit and you get involved with all the things that are relevant to that bit of the organisation. But for you guys, you know, at the time, outsiders, I mean, you know, Sean, from your point of view, what did you know about RNIB? What were you thinking about RNIB at that time? Did it ever cross your mind? Did you ever think about the organisation?
No, to be honest, I mean, you know, ever since I was registered blind, then obviously the RNIB have been there and it's been an organisation I've been aware of. But from a sort of podcasting point of view, from the radio point of view, no, I'll be honest, I didn't really know much about it at all. I had heard Tech Talk before, but, you know, it wasn't until that moment where you contacted me that I really sort of delved into it. And I just want to say as well, from the point of view, you know, of learning, it does work both ways. I'm unemployed for a long time. And after a long time of unemployment, your confidence is, you know, rock bottom. And the volunteering aspect, it really does, it gives you something. And as I said, this is a hobby for me and I love it anyway. But trying to get, I wouldn't say there's pressure, but just that bit of, okay, try this. You know, going on the radio, I'm not sure I want to do it. I don't know if I want to do it every week. I'm not sure I've got the confidence. But after a while and a little bit of, you know, gentle prodding, it's fantastic. And it really does give something back. I know that sounds a bit cliched, but it does. Everyone learns something from it.
It's cliche because it's true, yeah. I think. yeah. Tim, what about you? I mean, it's a bit different for you because you come to this, you know, from a different country perspective. You know, you've got your own local organisations I'm sure you're involved in. What did you know about RNIB before you were involved here?
Like Sean, I didn't know a whole lot about RNIB. That being said, I was aware of RNIB in those years where I had put my own podcast on hold. Like I said before, I kept the social media aspect going. And so I followed RNIB on Facebook and Twitter, and I would share out stories that they would post that I thought were interesting or inspiring. That was always the goal of my own podcast and website, was even if I never ever got paid for it, similar to volunteering with RNIB, that really didn't matter because, as Sean was talking about, I'm learning, but I'm also hoping that I'm educating other people at the same time. And so I would learn about RNIB from their posts on social media or on their own website, and I would share that information. And like Sean, I was familiar with Tech Talk. I was a listener and a fan and really enjoyed the show. And You know, for me, when I did my own show,
I did say I was a fan.
I was a fan. I really was. it's truth. It's not just a suck up. It's true. But no, I had always thought, hey, if I ever got a chance to go on another show, you know, great. You know, I can go on, promote what I'm doing, and maybe help some people, like Sean was talking about, be helpful or be able to, you know, pass on some information. And great. You know, if it's a one off, it's a one off. And obviously, it's become much more than that. And I'm very happy to volunteer that time because it is enjoyable. I learn something all the time, whether it's about presentation or editing or whatever it might be. The process is always ongoing, and I really enjoy it.
And I think it's important for us to say thanks as well to everyone else who's involved in Tech Talk, either in the past or presently. You know, we started off the show way back. It was just me on my own trying to convince people that there was a need for this kind of radio show. And, you know, it clearly worked, which is good. But then Jackie Brown came along and added, you know, a huge amount of wealth of knowledge. And then, Sean, you pretty much started roughly the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jackie and yourself added so much to the programme, and it was a real joy to sort of take the show in this new direction. And then from there, Jackie went on to do great things. She's now chair of BCAB, British Computer Association of the Blind, and, you know, she's doing a great job over there.
We had I'm still here.
And he's still there, yeah. You're not running any charities yet. Give it time. We've got Julie Rodaway, who's done some amazing stuff with us as well and been involved in the show. Claire Potter, who came on, is a very nervous person who was very keen to get involved and do stuff, and she's been brilliant. She's off doing her own thing now, and, you know, will be back with us very soon. We've also had Riz Khan join us recently as our Android expert, and Lydia Hume, of course, who came to us from the world of acting and, you know, runs her own business, but still fits in time to do this. I think there's so much thanks to go round, which is wonderful, and I'm really pleased that we're able to do this today. Has this experience made you, I guess this is probably more aimed at you, Sean, I guess, being in the UK, but, you know, from your point of view, has this made a difference to your views on RNIB, if they were in any way positive or negative before it?
Yeah, definitely. I will say maybe my views on the RNIB from way back were a slightly dusty organisation, if that's a proper way to explain it. Mm-hmm. But the more I've got involved with it, it was a case of that I just didn't get involved. I don't know if that was part of the sight loss process. I don't want to go into that too deeply, but, you know, there's issues there. But I didn't really want to get involved. And the way that I did it, and the way that I'm involved now, it does give you a different side to it. It gives you an insight into the people that work at the RNIB and the volunteers, as you said. You know, there's some great people out there. And, yeah, it does feel like you're part of something. And aside from the learning and the confidence it gives you, the volunteering, like Tim just said, the enjoyment of it as well. I mean, it's just a great laugh for a couple of hours every week.
And what's great is that it tells people out there that, you know, even radio presenting is a skill you can volunteer with at RNIB, as well as all the other skills we're learning about here on the Weekly Connect this week. Guys, I have to thank you so much for everything you do on the show. I know we have a laugh and we tease each other all the time and we do it so well. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's not. Depends on what it is. But, you know, we do have a great time and I thoroughly enjoy it. And I couldn't do it without you, quite literally. So I appreciate it and thank you for your time. It means a lot to me. Sean Preece and Tim Schwartz of Tech Talk, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
The Weekly Connect on RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, RNIB volunteers can choose from a wide range of opportunities which can help boost confidence and either prepare someone for the world of work or let you give something back after a long and successful career. Tony has been involved with RNIB in his role for a number of years, and he's been talking to community facilitator Daniel Colcombe.
Hi everyone, I'm joined here today with Tony. He's one of our volunteer campaigns coordinators and also volunteer assistant, is that right?
Campaigns assistant.
So you've got many roles within RNIB. So can I just start by asking you what kind of attracted you to volunteer with RNIB?
I went to an open day at Bolton Science for Blind People and Lindsay was there with an RNIB stall and I just made some general inquiries. I was looking for things to occupy myself with. And Lindsay happened to be there on that particular open day.
Just so everyone is aware, Lindsay's actually one of our campaign managers, isn't she, for the North West? Yeah. So was there anything about campaigning in particular that stood out to you?
No, it was just getting involved. I looked at several different roles, including getting into IT roles, helping people out with their home technology and computers, as well as doing like campaigning and other things. I'd been helping out at Bolton Sight for Blind People for like 2 years as a general office person, doing mail shots and things like that, and it just seemed a logical progression. When Lindsay turned up, I said, this sounds a little bit more interesting.
So you're involved with your local blind society as well. So
I was. So that's dropped off quite considerably. I'm still in touch with them by email, but I don't go on a regular basis to their meetings anymore.
What would you say you gained from your time at the Blind Society and the volunteer roles you had there?
It made me more confident to come out and just meet other blind people. I'd gone through a quite severe depression where I was sitting at home and doing absolutely nothing and just getting more and more depressed. So going to the Blind Society was the first step in getting me out of the house. And it progressed slowly but surely from there.
So it sounds like you went through a bit of a difficult patch then, first of all.
I went through quite a difficult patch for a couple of years, yeah.
So with that in mind, how would you say that things have changed for you now that you are involved in things like campaigning and other voluntary roles?
It's made me a much more relaxed person. I find it easier to talk to people now. I was quite withdrawn at one stage and wouldn't talk to anybody almost.
So you've definitely come out of your shell a bit, would you say?
Yeah.
And so other than gaining a bit of confidence, is there anything else to be gained from volunteering?
You're learning new skills. I've learned through doing the volunteering roles, I've learned how to touch type. I've learned how to use different software, particularly learned how to Zoom Text and Supernova. I'm reasonably confident on using most of the voice and magnification software. I've passed that knowledge on wherever I can to other people.
Yeah, and I feel that's a really important part of getting involved in organisations and giving your time, isn't it? Is sharing your skills.
Sharing the information and skills.
Yeah.
And it's quite fulfilling sometimes just to get other people involved and doing things nationally. It's quite a large area to cover on the whole of the North West. But every person we can get involved on a campaign issue or to come and meet and learn something new on a regional meetings or a learning event, volunteers days, open days. If the more people will get involved, the more people we'll have that we can call upon to help with campaigns and training and teaching other people.
So power by numbers, essentially. The more of us that come together, the stronger our voices.
The stronger voices, the more likely it is someone is going to actually listen to what's being said.
Do you feel that that's one of the things you get from volunteering? Is that an achievement for yourself?
Yeah. If I go back 10 years ago, I would never have thought of writing to my MP and asking a question of them and saying, can you get, why is this happening? I would never have done it.
Well, I need to take this opportunity to like thank you personally for, you know, the commitment and contribution that you make to volunteering, because I know RNIB just couldn't exist as it is without the work of its volunteers. And so to celebrate Volunteer Week, we really, you know, I want to take that opportunity to make sure that volunteering is acknowledged as being really integral to the organisation. So what difference do you think that you make? So under that theme of what difference do we make, what personally do you feel that you make as in terms of a difference
to either the sector or the organisation or an individual?
I've been making a great difference into the actual focus Lindsay can make on her campaign issues. I take away a lot of the day-to-day items and research that she needs to do, and just give her the information. It's already done for her. She's got far better use of her time then, rather than just looking up little pieces of information and finding out who's where and who to talk to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've already done that background information for her. She's well pleased with the amount of time she can concentrate then on the actual campaign issues themselves, rather than having to spend lots and lots of time looking up all the background information before she has a meeting with anybody.
Mm. So you're really, what you're doing is making sure that all the legwork's done, essentially, aren't you?
Yeah. I get a lot of the legwork done. I arrange for venues, for meetings, for training days we have out in the northwest. The VCC conferences we have twice a year. I'll find a venue and arrange dates and times, and it's all done and dusted. And I'll just communicate that to everybody that's we need to invite.
Mm. Great organisation skills, it sounds. Tony, I just wanted to end with a quick question around, if there's someone out there listening thinking, I'm a bit apprehensive about volunteering, I'm not sure how to get involved, and I don't think I've got anything to offer, what would you say to that person?
I would say, don't think like that, come and join in, because you'll gain an awful lot just by joining in, and you'll find something that you can do. You might not find the right thing initially, but there's plenty of opportunities. There's plenty of volunteer roles out there that people can explore and try out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is a Weekly Connect special here on RNIB Connect Radio. We are thanking our volunteers here at RNIB for the wonderful work they do. Now, it might seem appropriate that most, if not all, of RNIB's volunteers are blind or partially sighted, but at RNIB, everyone is welcome. And that's because some roles, well, quite frankly, require some vision. I can't quite imagine myself volunteering to drive the care home minibus or read a book for Talking Books. But that is exactly what John does for us. He's been talking about his role to Jill Cousell.
Well, I come in usually once every fortnight. I live quite a way away, about an hour's journey away in Okehampton. And so rather than just to like 1 hour and a half or so a week, I come in usually from about 10:30 to 3:30 and then basically record whatever people ask me to do.
Lovely, thank you. You've been doing this for quite a long time, haven't you?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how long. I was wondering that the other day. It was maybe 8 years, is it?
Probably, yes. 9.
I'm not quite sure. I remember you told me a while ago that I'd done 5 years, and that was quite a time ago, so I guess it must be about 8 years now.
Yes, thank you. So you actually come into the recording studio, which is where we are now, and record books. You must have a favourite.
Well, yeah, funnily enough, the two most favourite books are the last two I've done. I love recording novels, and I love recording them where there are lots of characters, people who you can really get into, and ideally with lots of different characters in the book. And so the one I'm doing now is a book called by an author I'd never heard of, called Leslie Thomas, and it's The Adventures of Goodnight and Loving. All right, and it's about this ordinary guy who's living a very boring life in London, travelling on the train, middle class lawyer. And he just gets sick to death with it, falls out with his wife, and then goes off travelling all around the world and gets into all these adventures. I haven't quite finished it yet, so I'm dying to know what happens. I don't know if you want another one before that, which is also probably the second best one. It's called, and totally different, it's called The Nuremberg Enigma by Yves Bonavero. And it tells the story of what possibly happened to Hitler, because there's a bit of a mystery when Hitler died in the bunker, whether he actually was there or not. And it explores that and all the implications of what might have happened if he perhaps didn't die.
Lovely, thank you. What do you think you get from volunteering?
For me, Personally, I just love reading aloud and acting. I really love it. And do you know, I'm not a very good actor because I always get hung up on learning words. And there's always that little bit inside me which is stopping me get really into the character when I'm on stage because I'm worried, what's the next line? Am I going to wear it? And you can't do that. If you're really going to be a good actor, you've got to be able to totally forget the words and just be there. And the nice thing about reading is that the words are there in front of you. And I'm fortunate in being able to sort of pick it up quickly and read quickly and absorb it quickly, so I don't have a hassle with that. Yeah, so that's really why they get it from personal view. And the other thing is that it's nice to be able to do something. I've been very fortunate in my life, you know. I've been, touch wood, reasonably healthy. I've had a good job, I've had a happy family and blah blah blah, and it's just a little way of putting something back into society, if you like. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sean, that's just lovely. We love having you on the team. Thank you.
As well as volunteering, many of our wonderful band of volunteers take time out of their busy lives to fundraise for the charity. Mark is one such volunteer and shared his experience of RNIB with Danielle Colcombe.
I'm here today with Mark in Chester. Now, we've just attended a fundraising event, and Mark is one of our dedicated volunteers, just here to tell us a little bit about what he does. So, do you want to introduce yourself, Mark?
Yeah, I'm Mark Rogerson. I'm 34 and live in St Helens in Merseyside. Basically, I'm a bit of a runner, really. I do a lot of running events for the RNIB. I've done 10Ks, half marathons, and I've done two lots of London Marathon, all through the help of a guide runner, because I'm partially blind myself. So that's the sort of thing and the ways I fundraise.
Right, so you exhausted me a little bit with all this energy you've got here. So we'll just sort of go back a little bit. And can you just tell us about how you first got involved with RNIB?
Yeah, I got involved with RNIB. I got diagnosed with some sight loss in my right eye. I lost a peripheral vision in my left eye. So RNIB stepped in about 2013 and basically just gave me the support and the help to carry on. And to thank the charity, myself, the fundraising group, and we've been doing the events as I've just previously mentioned.
So what does it mean to you to be a volunteer with RNIB?
Well, being a volunteer, I just want to raise as much money for the charity as I can, really, because I want people to have the same access to the services that I had when I first diagnosed with sight loss. Also, it gives me a feeling of achievement. Some of the things I've done since volunteering, it's given me a real boost, and it's a real positive thing for me. I'm also a volunteer at some sight loss courses and run a few the sessions on the courses, giving people information who are newly diagnosed with sight loss to do with like benefits and also to do with emotional support and practical advice. So I've been starting to do that as well.
So you've actually involved with quite a lot of things with RNIB, and I know that you also volunteer with other organisations as well. So how do you find the time, and how do you prioritise this?
It's quite easy to find the time, to be honest, when it's something you feel quite passionate about. It's something that doesn't take much effort doing. I'm always thinking of ways of raising money. I'm always thinking of ways to do events. Your brain never really switches off when you're a fundraiser like I am. You're always looking for that one next event for you. I'm trying to get as much money as you can to fundraise.
So you mentioned all the amazing projects that you've been involved in, but is there anything in particular that kind of stands out for you? Any particular achievement that you'd like to mention?
Obviously, the London Marathons, I've done two of them now. They were really, really big for me. I've done two marathons and I still look at my medals and I still don't believe that I've done them. I'm not a runner. I've not got the physique of a runner. I'm quite overweight and really quite lazy, to be honest. So I did really surprise myself that I've managed to run two London marathons. Also, climbing Snowdon as well was a big thing. We assembled a team together. There was a mixture of people, really, of fully sighted people, people with sight loss, and there was one girl who was totally blind as well. We all helped each other to get to the summit, and that was another thing that I really did surprise us that we could do, you know, when we put our mind to it.
What an incredible achievement. I mean, I don't know about anyone listening, but I couldn't run a marathon, so I've got full admiration for you doing that. And in particular, I mean, is it worth mentioning that you've overcome a lot of emotional unrest yourself, having come dealing with your own sight loss issues?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair to say that. I mean, when I first got diagnosed, I didn't really have anyone to speak to about it, because a lot of my family were blaming themselves for it happening. So I couldn't really speak to my family, because I didn't want them to think I couldn't cope. So with me not being able to speak to my family and friends about it, I had to bottle it up, really. So it was quite an emotional time, but again, it comes back to the RNIB's help, you know, and they helped me and give me the emotional support that I needed to get all the stuff that was bottled inside. So once that was out the way, that's where the other things started to come into play. You know, we started looking at work, sorting work out for me so I could get to work and make sure I could do a relatively normal job at work, and just things like that, really. So it started with the emotional side, dealing with that one particular problem, and then we started looking at like a lot of the things that were quite important, but not quite as important as me emotional well-being initially. So that's one of the things that the charity did with me.
Would you say that's what motivates you in your role then as a volunteer? Because you've got your own experience of sight loss and you want to support other people.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's one of the things I feel passionate about. I mean, I think everybody should have the access to the services that I have. So the fact that I know that a lot of people don't have access to these services, I think it's criminal in a way that the people are just left to deal with this sort of thing on their own, and I just don't think it's right. So that's, and again, at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of the time it's down to funding, really, and so that's why I try and fundraise as much as I can to give people opportunities to get the services that I have.
And just giving your time to us, you know, that is absolutely invaluable. I think it needs to be said that without our volunteers, you know, we couldn't provide the services that we do to blind and partially sighted people. So
yeah,
we're taking this opportunity to really thank our volunteers and celebrate the work that you do. So just so you know that the work doesn't go unrecognised.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the time as well, I mean, even if you haven't got any money to give, you know, your time is often more valuable than money to charities. So volunteering for a couple of hours, just doing little, even like a couple of hours collecting with a bucket, or even just something as simple as that, it's a massive help, you know. And the charity do appreciate people donating the time as well as the money.
So what's your experience with RNIB being a volunteer directly with them? Have you been supported?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've ever done with RNIB, there's been the support there. The majority of the volunteering I do is fundraising at the minute. So I'm kind of doing a lot of fundraising. So the fundraising team are always there for me. And if I ever need anything, you know, for any of the events, they're always there. I need to give them a call and they'll be there and they'll drop it off, you know, whatever it is that I need, you know, buckets or collection tins or anything like that sort of thing. So it's always...
Just to finish, I wonder if you've got any words of advice for anyone who's thinking about volunteering, but they might be faced with some challenges, in particular the blind and partially sighted community. What would you say to those people who maybe want to get involved in volunteering?
Yeah, I mean, get involved. You automatically, after you've volunteered for something, you automatically feel at the end of it like a sense of achievement. And it, again, a lot of the time, you know, it's really something positive for you to do. Just something small, like volunteering, like at a small event, you know, for a couple of hours, it gives you so much back. So I would recommend that. And like I said, the support's always there. Doesn't necessarily matter about any disabilities that you may have. You know, there's always things that you can do, and the charity are always grateful of people to volunteer in any way, shape or form.
Thank you so much, Mark, and thank you personally for all of the really hard work that you've put into raising, is it £15,000?
Yeah.
Fantastic work. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the great things about volunteering is that it gives you the chance to use skills you may have used in a previous job or even volunteer role in the past. Lisa joined RNIB as a volunteer counsellor to help people who need emotional support. It's fair to say that she's found it very rewarding. Here is Lisa talking to RNIB's Kirsty Campbell in Northern Ireland.
My name's Lisa. I'm a volunteer counsellor with the Looking Forward project, and I've been with the project from the very start.
Can you tell me maybe why or how you got into volunteering with Looking Forward?
For me, it appealed because I wanted to be able to offer a counselling service to clients who wouldn't normally avail of mainstream counselling. So that's what attracted me to the post.
Yeah. Would you have much experience with anybody with sight loss before this?
Absolutely none. Yeah. Absolutely none. No. I just thought it sounded an exciting project and something that was brand new and something that was very needed. But no, absolutely no experience before. So it was all new.
Yeah. Would you say you've learned a lot through it then?
Oh, absolutely. I really have. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I've worked all over Northern Ireland, as far down as Enniskillen, Omagh. I've seen clients in Portadown, in Lurgan, in Dungannon, in Cookstown, in Belfast. So it's taken me all over Northern Ireland.
Do you think there's maybe any particular, without discussing anybody in particular, any particular different issues maybe with people who are experiencing sight loss or have experienced sight loss?
I think there's a theme of loss and grief. And I think there's also very often a loss of confidence and a loss in belief of their abilities. So that's the theme I would see come along a lot. I've seen clients understand that what they're experiencing is very usual, and giving them time and space to explore their feelings usually leads to their mood improving and an increase in confidence.
Why do you think projects like Looking Forward are important?
I think they're hugely important, not only because of the service we provide to blind and partially sighted clients, but also that it opens the conversation around the importance of emotional support if somebody has lost or is losing their sight. So I think it makes a real difference.
So what would you say are your hopes for people who have been involved with Looking Forward and going forward in the future now?
Oh, I hope that my clients continue to get involved in life and feel less isolated and maybe find new ways of doing things they used to do. So I hope that their confidence improves and they continue getting out and meeting people and having a full active life.
What are you going to take away yourself from your experience of volunteering with Looking Forward?
I think I've certainly gained more than I've given to the project, and I have a greater understanding of perhaps what it's like to be blind and partially sighted and live in a sighted world. I have less fear, so if I see somebody about to cross the road, I'll offer help where before I wouldn't. I'll definitely take away more than I've given. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Being a pleasure to be involved with it.
Another skill that helps others through volunteering is sharing the story of RNIB. Barbara took up a role in RNIB because of her past experience of public speaking and thought it could be useful to the charity. She's been telling us about it and talking to Ashley Venables.
Hi, I'm Barbara Weiner.
So Barbara, why were you interested in doing volunteering for RNIB?
I'm very interested in what you're organising, what you're doing, and I thought I could help by raising awareness and doing some public speaking, which is what my background is from business, and I thought it would be useful.
And how much public speaking have you done so far with RNIB?
So I've done hundreds of presentations on a fairly extensive basis, if you like, and I've done it with lots of organisations. So for RNIB, I'm very new, so I'm looking forward to doing that. and again to raise awareness.
Which areas are you volunteering at the moment? So are you based in London?
I'm based in London, so I'm in Waterloo, so I'm pretty good for access in most places. Yeah.
And you said you wanted to work for sort of a charity like RNIB. What was it that sort of motivated or inspired you to come work for Sightless Charity? Was it just wanting to volunteer?
No, there is a wanting of volunteering in somewhere where you can use your skills. But I really have a passion for reading, and I think one of the things that gets to me is if I lost that ability, that would be really tragic, you know. And so I kind of get the books, and I want to be a part of helping with the books.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is the talk. I suppose maybe actually getting someone signed up to take
yes.
on a talking book, because that's kind of an achievement to work.
To me, that would be a real achievement, is to get that done, and particularly with children books, I think. But you know, either way, it's important. So I think that would be just brilliant, and also, you know, the ability to allow somebody to be able to put their name to that. And to have something that they can say, I put my name to a talking book and it's going to be there forever, I think it's a great thing for somebody else. So it's really good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
We've heard some amazing stories of people who just freely give up their time to help us here at RNIB. Anne is another such person, and she had her story of getting involved. It was a very personal reason for her to participate in the world of work for the charity, and she shared that story to Danielle Colcombe.
So I'm here today at Crewe Hall with one of our wonderful volunteers, Anne. Would you like to introduce yourself, Anne?
Hello, I'm Anne Cranford, and I'm a volunteer for RNIB.
So we'll talk a little bit about why we're here today first, because it's quite interesting how you got involved with RNIB, isn't it? So I'll just let everyone know that we're at the National Stroke Assembly today, and we're here exhibiting some RNIB information, and we're thinking about setting up some partnership work with Stroke Association, aren't we? And in particular, supporting people who experience sight loss after stroke. So would you like to tell me a little bit about how you got involved in, specifically in stroke projects?
I got involved in stroke projects because I actually experienced a stroke myself in 2011. And I had sight difficulties following on from that. And I actually received a lot of my support following that from the RNIB. And I was really grateful for the support that I received, and eventually wanted to give something back. The second part of it was that I lost lots and lots of my skills as a result of my stroke, and as well as wanting to give something back, the selfish part of me actually wanted an opportunity to develop or to redevelop some of the skills that I'd lost, and volunteering gave me an opportunity to do that as well.
Now, you mentioned that that's a selfish thought, but actually I feel that's one of the main benefits of getting into volunteering. And so you also mentioned that you wanted to give something back. Is that what inspires you to then give your time up for free?
Yes. The thought of giving something does, but actually it's a symbiotic process, because yes, I like the thought that I'm giving something, but in truth I'm getting lots from it as well, in that it's really lovely to be part of something, to belong, to feel that you belong somewhere, to actually join in with other people. That's a really good part of being a volunteer.
And we've met some incredible people today here at Crewe Hall at the Stroke Association assembly. So is connecting people something that's connecting with people, is that something that's important to you?
Very. And I think it's important to other people that have suffered strokes or any kind of sight loss. Connecting with other people is really important. It was important to me at the time I needed it, so I know that firsthand, and I continue to know it from the people that I meet up with.
And we're here representing our Connect team, aren't we? So in terms of building those relationships with people, is that something that supported you through your difficult times, would you say?
Yes, it is. It's really important to be able to connect with other people, sometimes who have similar experiences to yourself, or maybe very different experiences, but just to be able to connect in different ways, whether it by telephone or electronically, or just to read other people's experiences. However, it's just important to be able to connect with other people.
What difference would you say that you make being a volunteer?
I don't know. I'd like to think if I just perhaps give somebody a bit of company in a day that they wouldn't have otherwise had, or maybe even a smile that they wouldn't have otherwise experienced, then that's good enough.
Well, you certainly put a smile on my face, Anne. Without you, I'd be very lonely at these events, so I very much appreciate your time. And I think that's what we're here to celebrate, really, the fact that Volunteers Week is it's a time for us to actually to recognise that the work that volunteers do is integral to the organisation, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
If there was anyone out there listening who was thinking maybe that they were slightly reluctant to maybe get involved with charity work or volunteering, what would you say to those people?
I would say go for it. You get far more back than you give. It really is a symbiotic experience, and it's really fun to do.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Now, just before we go, I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who appeared on the show and to all our volunteers across RNIB on behalf of RNIB. The charity simply couldn't do the work it does without you. Volunteers have this year raised nearly £500,000 thanks to the Sooty Box Army across the UK. You've raised over £1 million in successful benefits and concessions claims, including over £1 million in personal independence payment claims alone, thanks to the benefits and concession volunteers in London. You've given over 1,000 hours a month transcribing Braille, audio and other accessible formats from the Ivy Bridge Transcription Service in Plymouth. You've supported over 700 customers with 120 telephone support groups across the UK. And you've enabled nearly 1,400 customers to make the most of technology as Technology for Life volunteers. I know everyone here at RNIB says thank you, especially during this National Volunteers Week. That is it for our special episode this week. Join us next week at the same time. Remember, when it's Mondays at 1, it's the Weekly Connect. Bye.